From the Premier League, it's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. Is it no to Bruno? Surely it's hello to Mo. If so, how are you spreading the rest of your dough? The clock is ticking, the FPL deadline is looming, and we are here to help. So helping you solve those last-minute conundrums and ensuring you're ready for the season ahead, it's a hello to journalist Tom Williams.
Hello, Kelly.
The other half of the FPL family, the lovely Sam Bonfield.
Hey, Kelly.
And another debut on the pod, it's football journalist Jonathan Fadugba. Jonathan, welcome to the podcast. I always like to say hi to newbies first. Thank you so much for coming on. Tell us, how is your FPL team shaping up?
Hi Kelly, hi everybody. Yes, it's taking shape slowly. I'm happy to be on the show and probably I'll be able to fine tune it now based on maybe some of the players you guys have and sort of give me some decisions to make in the next few minutes.
Hopefully that's the plan, that these guys can offer us all some pearls of wisdom. Now, one person who's always got pearls of wisdom for us is Sam from FPL Family. Sam, I asked Lee where he finished last week. I know you finished even higher than him last season. It's a bit of a running family joke, isn't it, that you keep beating him. So tell us where you finished and then tell us what your strategy is when it comes to picking your team.
Yeah, so last year I think I finished at 38k, which to be honest was quite good given the season that we all had. It was so difficult last year with people in and out through various different reasons. So getting some consistency was difficult. I think going into this season, I like to pick my game week one teams, not just based on game week one, but based on the first few game weeks of the season so that I'm not having to make loads of transfers. And hopefully that means you can keep that all important wild card for much later on when we've got some really nice fixture swings around either game week 7 or game week 13.
Yeah, of course, two wild cards available, one in the first half of the season, then you get that second one. But I do know a lot of people that often find themselves having to wild card after the first couple of game weeks when they realise they've got their team totally wrong. Hopefully we can avoid that happening for all of our listeners today. Now, Tom, there's always a lot of debate, isn't there, about the big hitters, the likes of Mo Salah, Bruno Fernandes and the other premium price players in the game. Who are the must-haves from that bracket, do you feel, this season?
Well, we shared our teams last night before recording the podcast, which I found quite a nerve-wracking, but also eye-opening experience. And it seems that there was a fair amount of players who we all had. I think we've all got Trent Alexander-Arnold. Most of us have got Mo Salah. Most of us have got Bruno Fernandes. Luke Shaw is very attractively priced, very widely owned. So those are the big hitters. I think the big question mark at the start of the season is what to do about the striker situation. There are question marks over Harry Kane, who is a very reliable FPL performer, but whose future, and sorry, Sam, to bring this up so early.
I can't believe we're bringing this up already.
whose future is the subject of some speculation. And of course, we have Romelu Lukaku, who is poised to return to Chelsea, who has not yet been added to FPL as we speak, but who I suspect a lot of managers will want to make room for when he does complete that move to Chelsea. So, you know, do you leave room in your team knowing that you're going to bring Lukaku in at some point? But yeah, apart from that, I'd say Trent Alexander-Arnold, Luke Shaw, Bruno Fernandes, Mo Salah, those are the big hitters.
Cool, that doesn't mean leave much space for much else, does it? But it's interesting, it's a very good point. The transfer window is still open and there are, of course, going to be reports circling, and particularly about some big name, big money players, potentially in FPL terms, who could arrive in the Premier League, move in the Premier League. Tom, are you seriously considering leaving some money in the bank? Is that something that we should all be doing?
I mean, that strikes me as far too sensible. And I think going into the first game week of the season with like 3 or 4 FPL million on the bench would feel slightly renegade. So I'm not planning to do that. I'm generally an early wild carder. In previous seasons, I found myself just hitting the panic button after about 3 or 4 weeks. So usually the transfer window closes, the first international break comes along, and I hit the wild card button. I've tried to style that out in recent seasons by pretending it's part of a long-term strategy. But the one advantage to using your wild card early is that it means that if any players do arrive late in the transfer window, you can bring them into the team. So I'm not planning to leave money aside in anticipation of Lukaku arriving or Kane potentially going to City. But there is still a possibility that I will make some quite sizable changes within a few weeks of the season kicking off.
Yeah, I know a lot of people already who are kind of saying I'm going to wild card after the first 4 or 5 weeks. International breaks are often popular. Now, Sam, he's already been mentioned. You are the most loyal Harry Kane fan. I'm going to give everyone a bit of a spoiler here because your team doesn't include him. And that is very, very rare for you, which automatically says there must be a problem. He is priced at 12.5 million. Of course, he got 23 goals and 14 assists last season. But there is all of that speculation around his future. What should we be doing about him?
Well, that is the big question, isn't it? I think for me, the reason I don't own him at the moment is because he's only been back in training for a week since obviously returning from holiday after the Euros and has had to be in quarantine for some of that time. So hasn't actually been training with the squad. He's been training on his own and staying at the Spurs training facilities so that he's fulfilling his quarantine restrictions. My problem with Harry Kane is therefore that I don't see him being available for game week one, regardless actually of whether he's wearing a Spurs shirt or a different colour shirt going into the new season. He's not going to play in game week one. And as Tom said, I just don't think that you can have that level of money just sitting around on your bench or sitting around in the bank while we wait for him to become available. So for me, I'm kind of going with the, on the basis that I think if you wait it out with Kane till game week two, game week three, when we actually get some word from either Nuno that he's going to start for Spurs or word from the Spurs powers that be that he's going to go somewhere else, that's the moment where you act on Harry Kane, because I do think we're all going to want him. It's just, when is it that it's going to come, when he's going to come in?
Jonathan, all this talk of all of these premium priced players, and at the moment we don't, it seems, from what Sam said there, have the headache of trying to fit Harry Kane in as well. Tell us that you found some value elsewhere. Who else should we be looking at? Maybe in not the upper echelons of the price brackets.
In FPL, I always like to try and find the kind of underrated gems. That's probably something I enjoy doing in football in general.
We love those on here.
Yeah. I think like my sort of quote-unquote claim to fame was Riyad Mahrez. I think the year Leicester won the league, I had him from game week one. And he was really, really cheap and I had him the whole season. And that was like my, probably still dining off that 5 years later, probably, as you can as you can tell. But he was, you know, trying to find those players that, you know, no one really thinks about at the beginning and then they go on to have great seasons. And often they can come from the promoted sides. So this time around, I'm very closely looking at Brentford. For example, I'm looking at Ivan Toney, who was prolific in the Championship last season and has a chance to prove himself at this level. So, you know, his price is very, very reasonable, 6.5. And I think he's the sort of player who will score goals, whether it's against Arsenal or in weeks to come. I'm also looking at their defence and just eyeing up whether they're going to be a kind of what kind of style they're going to go for, because they do like to play nice football, but they do have some sort of quality defenders. Christopher Ayer, who's just been signed, Ethan Pinnock as well, who's been a solid player for them for many years, who's 4.5. So I do have Pinnock on my bench and I'll be reviewing that. Jafet Tanganga as well is someone who I think he's been fairly prominent for Spurs in pre-season. And so as a sort of a low cost option, I've kind of gone for him just to maybe, as I say, fill that bench and potentially come in. So, yeah, I think the key really is, can you find those cheaper gems? Because as Tom said there, you know, and as Sam said, those key strikers are the ones that you maybe want to save a little bit of money for. I think, you know, if you look at Lukaku, probably be priced around the 10, maybe 11 million pound mark. So should you maybe save a little bit of money for him, because he's going to be a big player, isn't he? The Kane situation, I'm staying well clear of, because we don't really know what's going to happen there. And I'm not entirely sure where he's going to be in, say, 2-3 weeks time. So I think at this moment in time, you know, padding your team out with some underrated players like that is probably the way to go.
Well, I hate to say it, you talk about hidden gems. I'm not quite sure how hidden Ivan Toney is. He is by far and away the most popular Brentford player, owned by over 30% of managers, priced at 6.5 million. He was talking this week about his expectations for the season and saying, yeah, we've got to aim to win the league. If you don't reach for those heights, then you're never going to achieve great things. And now I'm not saying Brentford are going to win the league, but he could be a very good asset in fantasy. 100 million is the price you have got to play with Fantasy Manager. Spend those funds wisely, because as we've learned, this squad has to last you 38 game weeks, of course, so you can wildcard. It is nice, though, to get those points on the board early on. So let's identify where those points might come in game week one. So the Premier League fixture list structure resembles a bit more what it was like pre-pandemic. They aren't quite as staggered as they were last season, meaning us fantasy managers don't have to constantly check scores and constantly be looking at fixtures to work out what our players are doing. It does all kick off on Friday night. The deadline, a reminder again, is 18:30 UK time, 1 hour and a half before newly promoted Brentford host Arsenal. Then the early fixture on Saturday is Manchester United versus Leeds. Five fixtures in at 3 p.m, one late game before two on Sunday. Let's start then, Tom, with the first fixture of the weekend. It is Thomas Frank's Brentford against Arsenal. Let's continue this Ivan Toney chat because he is so popular. You've got him in your team. We had the Pookie party. Is it going to be Toney time?
I mean, let's hope so. Yeah, as you say, I've got him in. A lot of FPL managers have gone for him as well. Generally speaking, I'm always wary about new players entering the league. And that holds true both for players coming up with promoted sides and also for transfers from other leagues. But you look at Ivan Toney, fantastic season in the Championship last season, 31 goals in the regular season, plus two more in the playoffs, plus 10 assists. He also takes penalties. He is very much Brentford's main man. And yes, they're a promoted team playing their first ever season in the Premier League or, you know, in the top flight in the Premier League era. But they're a very attacking team. They play adventurous front foot football. So I can see them making chances for Ivan Toney. He's a nailed on starter. He ticks pretty much every box that you want from a striker in, you know, that sort of price range. I think that's borne out in the fact that he is such a popular pick. The only Arsenal player I've got in my squad currently is Ben White, who is very attractively priced, 4.5 million, because, of course, he was previously at Brighton and has joined Arsenal since he was assigned his. He is one of the four most popular defensive picks, and I think you struggle to get better value at that 4.5 million range. I've got him on my bench, I think, for the first game, which means almost certainly that he will keep a clean sheet and probably score as well. So I'm probably not even going to watch this game just because it just feels like one of those prime fixtures where my decision to back Ivan Toney to score and Arsenal to concede is going to backfire, and I'll be left ruining my FPL decisions before the first fixture of the season's even finished.
Yeah, over a quarter of managers have actually got Ben White in their team at the time of recording, so it'll be interesting to see how many play him in that game. Sam, is there anyone else that you think we should be looking at Brentford? Because it is often in these newly promoted teams, particularly the teams that play front-footed attacking football, as we saw with Leeds on occasion, Sheffield United when they first came up, there's often a couple of gems that maybe get overlooked that go on to have storming seasons.
Somebody else I think could be a really good option at Brentford is Mbeumo. He's only owned by around 1% of the game at the moment. In his debut season, he got 15 goals for them and 8 assists. Last season, he had 8 goals and 11 assists. Mostly plays from the right wing, can also play on the left wing, which is great for us as FPL managers because they are interchangeable and therefore positioning in the team is normally a lot more secure if they can play in more places. He likes to get inside, cut in, good relationship with Toney. I think if you're brave and you want to take the double up on Brentford, then these two could be really nice options together.
Yeah, and Mbeumo priced at 5.5 million. Real differential there from Sam, owned by just over 1% of managers, as Sam said, though. Does feel like you have to be quite brave to go there. Let's move it on to Saturday now. And Jonathan, I know this is a standout fixture for so many people this weekend. A real classic, Manchester United versus Leeds. Who are you looking at in these fixtures to get points from?
Yeah, it's a game that I think will be very, very exciting. It's a big derby. The two teams don't like each other, famously. And obviously, last season, it was so high scoring. I think the addition of fans as well, I think Leeds fans particularly who have been looking forward to this fixture for ever since they were promoted. And obviously, they had a season where they couldn't attend the game. So, yeah, it's going to be very, very fiery, I think. Maybe the early kickoff may change that slightly in terms of the dynamics and how many goals are scored, but of course, as the first game of the season, it's going to be action-packed, I think. If you look at it, Bielsa in terms of his style is as a manager who is not afraid to go toe-to-toe with anybody. So I do think there's a potential for high scoring. Maybe if you're looking for defenders, are there going to be clean sheets in this game? Not sure. So having said that, I'm contradicting myself with Luke Shaw in my team. But Shaw obviously takes set pieces. And I think that's an area that Manchester United, they've hired a set piece coach this season. And in some of their pre-season games, Harry Maguire, I think, scored against Everton with Shaw taking the set piece. So I think you've got to balance. Do you go for Shaw in terms of creativity, or do you look for maybe the fact that it could be a high scoring game with Bielsa ball? One player I think that maybe... I haven't actually got in my team at this moment in time, but I may be changing it after this podcast, is Mason Greenwood. I think that he is someone who could take a more prominent role this season. He's a fantastic young prospect. Obviously played for Manchester United last season, predominantly off the right, but I do think his long-term future will be maybe as a central striker. But in FPL, he's listed as a midfielder, which is something I didn't quite realise. And at 7.5, I think this is a season that he can sort of carry on that superb talent that we all know. 7 goals last season, 10 the season before, and I think he'll continue around that with the sort of maybe 10 to 12 goal mark. So I think we can definitely maybe look at Greenwood as a sort of midfield player option who will get goals. Elsewhere, there's, of course, Jadon Sancho, the man who put up so many goal contributions for Borussia Dortmund, 104 games. I think it's more than 80 goal contributions in that time. So I think it's around 51 assists, 38 goals, or maybe the other way around. But yeah, he's a fantastic prospect. The big question for fans, FPL players, is will he play any games in minutes in this game? I think he will, because at Old Trafford, you've got I remember, for example, many, many years ago now, Cristiano Ronaldo making his debut off the bench against Bolton Wanderers. And that kind of wild card player who will excite the fans is something that maybe Ole Gunnar Solskjaer will look to just G up the crowd. If it's an even game at some point, I think we will see Sancho. So it's, do you take that gamble of the minutes to maybe get ahead of other FPL players who maybe don't have him? I think I noticed his ownership is kind of less than 15%. I think it's around the 11% mark at this moment in time. So, I like to sort of look at those little wild cards, but then of course you may be embarrassed if he doesn't play any minutes. So it's always one you got to balance. But and then of course you look at it from the Leeds perspective. Patrick Bamford last season was such a prolific striker for them, so heavily relied upon. Rafinha as well was someone who came into prominence quite a lot towards the middle of the season. So there's so many options in this game. It's almost difficult to know where to look, really. But I think Sancho and Greenwood are two I'm very closely eyeing.
Sam, you were nodding along there. It does feel like with the Manchester United attack at the moment, we're not quite sure who's going to slot in where. We obviously know that Marcus Rashford has gone and had surgery on his shoulder, so he's not someone to look at. But how do you see that Manchester United attack shaping up? And should we wait and see, or should we be investing early?
No, in my opinion, you should be investing early on Bruno Fernandes. I just think that he is one of those players that if you don't have him, you're going to spend most of this season hiding behind a sofa wishing that you did have him. We've seen since he arrived in the Premier League what an absolute talent that man has. And not only that, he has the additional benefit of so many routes to points in FPL with the penalty aspect to his game as well. So without Rashford there, obviously that does change the way that Manchester United will play. But equally, they've now got other really quality players that can play in those positions as well. So it's not like they're struggling for somebody to come in and back him up in his absence. So in my opinion, you go Bruno Fernandes and you just enjoy owning him. Know that you can captain him whenever you feel like it. And this is a derby and a big one at that, with fans for the first time in such a long time, particularly for Leeds. So I think this is going to be a big one, and I suspect Bruno Fernandes stands up.
He certainly stood up in this fixture last season. Manchester United won 6-2 and he got 2 goals and an assist. So yeah, I think there's one person within our panel, I won't reveal now, we'll wait until the end of the podcast, one person on this panel doesn't have Bruno, and I can see they're looking a little bit nervous right now. Anyway, very quickly, Tom, before we move on, Leeds, how are you feeling about that? Jonathan touched upon Patrick Bamford, Rafinha. Rafinha is currently in my team at the moment. Patrick Bamford was a revelation last season. He's 8 million this year. Can he replicate the form of the last campaign?
I mean, that's the big question for Leeds, both in sort of traditional football sense and in FPL terms. I think one of the great things about Leeds from an FPL perspective is they always attack. They attack if they're 4-0 up, they attack if they're 4-0 down, they attack if it's 3-3 going into stoppage time. And when you've got Leeds players in your team, that means that you're guaranteed that as long as they're on the pitch, they're going to be involved in a team who are trying to get, you know, trying to get the ball forward. I currently have Rafinha. He is on my bench as things stand, and that just feels like another one of those decisions that I'm going to be regretting very swiftly. Patrick Bamford as well, you know, very attractive in FPL terms. I feel like there might be better value in that sort of mid-price striker bracket. He's 8 FPL million. There are a few players at 7.5 million who I think are, you know, perhaps slightly better picks. You look at Leeds defenders as well, someone like Luke Ayling, only 4.5 million. The big question mark with Leeds this season is, can they sustain what they did last season, or is the ship going to run aground as it occasionally does with Marcelo Bielsa teams? But yeah, like I say, I've got Rafinha. I think Bamford makes a lot of sense as well. Someone we've not mentioned is Jack Harrison, who's sort of was slightly overshadowed perhaps by Rafinha last season, in the sense that Rafinha is Brazilian and, you know, wears his socks over his knees and does more stepovers. But Harrison's numbers were very similar to Rafinha's. He's finally a Leeds player now on a permanent deal, having been there on loan for, I think, the past three seasons. He's pretty much as guaranteed a starter as Rafinha is. So he might be someone worth looking at if you're considering how to get Leeds players into your team but don't want to go for the most obvious routes.
For me, I'd be 100% going Harrison over Rafinha. All pre-season I've said that, and it was only in the most recent draft that I've done that I've had to lose him to budget for somebody else. But I think Harrison at 0.5 cheaper as well than Rafinha is a really, really good option.
Oh, sorry to interrupt, Kelly. I've just got just something to add quickly. I've just checked, actually. Jack Harrison does also sometimes wear his socks over his knees. So I just thought I'd add that before I get accused of not knowing what I'm talking about, which wouldn't be the first time.
Now, moving on to our final fixture in focus, it's Sam's beloved Spurs against the champions Manchester City. Now, Sam, you've already said you don't expect Harry Kane to start. I don't think Nuno actually ruled him out earlier this week, but let's look at the effect that that might have on the rest of this team, because Son, always so popular in FPL, he's priced at 10 million. We've seen in Harry Kane's absence before that he's played further forward and he's benefited. But on the flip side, do you think he'll be hindered without his kind of partner in crime? How are you viewing Son at the moment?
I don't think Son's hindered by anything, to be honest. He's one of those players that, particularly with his new contract now signed, Nuno's talked constantly this pre-season about his energy and his smiles and how contagious they are around the training ground. Son, interestingly, has only scored more goals against Southampton in his career at Spurs than he has against Manchester City. He's got 6 against Man City, and in fact has scored in the last 2 games against Man City at the Spurs Stadium. My Spurs have won both of those by 2-0. So that kind of is interesting to me, because I always go into this game with some trepidation, thinking, oh goodness, what's going to happen? But actually, the last 2 games at home have been fruitful from a Spurs perspective. I think going into this season, I suspect we will see Son playing up top a bit more with, and in pre-season we've seen him play there with Dele Alli and Lucas Moura in behind. Both of those could be really nice options from an FPL perspective if they continue to get starts, because at 6.5 million for each of them, they've done well in pre-season. Dele's got a couple of goals this pre-season alongside some assists. Lucas Moura with 3 goals, same as Son this pre-season. So again, the value could definitely be there. I think it's the Spurs defence that most people will be looking at, although probably not for game week 1. It's probably something that you're going to want to do for game week 2 when the fixtures turn slightly better in the next 3 weeks following. But I think if you want to go early and make sure that your team's set up for game week 2, 3 or 4, then going with somebody like Reguilón could be a good idea. Spurs will likely continue to play counter-attacking football under Nuno. That's what seems to be happening during the course of pre-season. So Reguilón could be a really nice option down that side.
Interesting. Well, hopefully there's plenty of points coming from those fixtures and the others, as long as they contain our FPL players. Let's now turn our attention a little bit further into the distance. Yes, the long view is back, and I feel particularly at this stage of the season, it's especially important to be looking long term as we finalise our squads. And the way that we do that here on the official Fantasy Premier League podcast is by using the fixture difficulty ranking, which basically tells you which teams, on paper at least, have the most favourable fixtures. You too can find this handy tool over on fantasy.premierleague.com. Now, Tom, at the top of the list for fixtures, as I said, on paper, in terms of the easiest ones, are Rafa Benitez's Everton. Now, they were 3-0 down to Manchester United after 30 minutes in a pre-season friendly the other week. Should we be considering anyone from Everton?
Probably, yes. Although, to counter that, I haven't got any Everton players, and I don't feel too anxious about that. I mean, one thing you get from Rafa Benitez teams is defensive solidity. You look at the fixtures, home to Southampton, away to Leeds, and then away to Brighton, home to Burnley, away at Villa, home to Norwich. You can see Everton picking up a lot of clean sheets there. Someone like Luca Dean, 5.5 FPL million, a defensive player who also gets forward. He's an attractive pick. But going forward, although Everton have got players like Dominic Calvert-Lewin, Richarlison, albeit probably a bit leggy coming in off the back of the Olympics, although they've got players who can score goals, I don't see Everton just blowing teams off the park this season, because that's not what Benitez teams do. So although they've got nice looking fixtures, I'm not in any mad hurry to pack my team full of Everton players.
Sam, Liverpool, the next team down on the fixture difficulty ranking. The debate at the moment amongst FPL managers seems to be, should we be trebling up? And if we are, which three should we be having?
I definitely think we should be trebling up. The injury to Robertson makes for interesting decision-making for FPL managers, because ahead of that, I would have said double up in the middle and have one defender. However, with Robertson looking like he'll be out for a couple of weeks, if we listen to what Klopp is saying, then going Tsimikas for the opening couple of weeks could be a really nice cheap way into a three-prong Liverpool FPL attack, if you like. With him, I think you have to go Trent Alexander-Arnold, and not having Salah feels like a disaster waiting to happen, if I'm really honest. So Salah gets in easily. Trent feels like somebody you're going to want. And then I think it's a straight choice between Tsimikas or Jota. Or if you've somehow got multiple millions of pounds burning a hole in your pocket, then doubling up with Salah and Mane could be on. But it's going to be really difficult to fit both of those two in, because the pricing is so tight this year. Of course, with Mane just being 0.5 cheaper than Salah, it's not a substantial difference.
Jonathan, Chelsea have far trickier matches. They're really ranked down there on the fixture difficulty ranking. But we've seen a lot of their players have really good summers, the likes of Kai Havertz, Timo Werner. Of course, Paul Ziyech did look like he got a nasty looking injury in the Super Cup final this week. Who are you looking at from Chelsea, or should we be avoiding completely at this stage?
Yeah, it kind of has given me the shivers to see them as the bottom of this table for sort of fixture difficulty, given that I have Mason Mount on my side. I think that regardless, I'm still going to keep him. I think he's one of those players that is not, I wouldn't say guaranteed minutes, but he's a manager's favourite. I know he didn't start in the Super Cup, but I think now with the injury to Ziyech, I think he will get game time. 6 goals, 7 assists last season, 147 points, roughly 20% ownership. I think with Mount, you can sort of fit him into in that sort of 3-4-3 system. He can either play in the sort of two in midfield or the two more advanced midfielders, if that makes sense. So I think there's always room for him in a Chelsea team. I think Thomas Tuchel has revolutionised that squad, really, turned them into a really well-drilled unit. I think they're going to be one of the favourites for the title. I think they will perform. And so I'm not too scared about that, I guess, when I think about it. Of course, the thing to consider is maybe clean sheets might not be too forthcoming because of the difficulty of the games. But I'm still kind of, I think if you could, maybe you can get ahead of others with some Chelsea players. I think there's one or two in there that could perform in the first five fixtures. And of course, if Lukaku, who's already reportedly in London to complete his move, maybe he could be one. He's a big game player as well. So, yeah, I mean, although they're so low down in terms of their fixture difficulty, I think that Tuchel's a very tactically astute manager, and he's the sort of manager who can prepare his team for big games. And so I think you can get an edge there if you are willing to sort of take that risk.
Tom, another team that perhaps we wouldn't expect to be talking about this early in the season, considering the fact they are newly promoted, but we're kind of familiar with a number of the players in their team because they only spent one season down in the Championship, Watford. And there's one player in particular that's caught your eye and actually made your FPL team.
How did I know you were going to want to steer the conversation onto Watford, Kelly?
You picked him, not me.
So we're talking about Ismaïla Sarr, who's priced at 6 FPL million. Owned by less than 4% of managers at time of recording. Had a successful first season in the Premier League despite Watford's relegation. 5 goals, 7 assists. 13 goals, 10 assists in the Championship last season. Guaranteed starter. A borderline Champions League pedigree player playing for a promoted club. Watford got a decent start to the season, notably home games against Villa, Wolves, Newcastle, trips to Brighton and Norwich. I mean, looking at Watford last season, as you'll know well, Kelly, what really stood out about them was how solid they were defensively, kept a clean sheet in half of their matches. And given that kind start to the season, there probably is some sense in bringing in at least one Watford defensive player. But I have gone for the sharp end of the pitch. And Sarr is my sort of chief midfield differential for the first weekend of the season, at least.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of fantasy managers will remember when he scored 2 goals against Liverpool in Watford's last Premier League campaign. Now we move on to my favourite part of the show. It's the time for our all-important team reveals. And spoiler, I've seen these teams and they are all very different. So no one really likes revealing their teams, do they? Because we all have those conundrums over players who so nearly made the cut, or those that you just couldn't quite afford, or players that you wish you brought in just from listening to this podcast so far. So let's ask the panel for theirs and their rationale. Now, Tom, I'm going to come to you first because we've got a good idea of your team so far. You've got Shaw, Trent, Salah, Bruno, a lot of the big hitters. Let's quickly talk about your goalkeeper, though, because you've gone for Sanchez. Why did you opt for him?
So I've got Robert Sanchez of Brighton between the posts. I brought him in towards the end of last season and he did a decent job for me. Spoke to the chairman over the summer. Did we want to look at, you know, bringing in a more established name? But we felt that he had, you know, done enough to earn the right to start this season as number one. So we are sticking with him.
Aside from the goalkeeper, Tom, there's a couple of other players that stand out in your starting 11 for me there, particularly in attack.
Yeah, so I've got Harvey Barnes in midfield, 7 FPL million, had a fantastic season with Leicester last season that was cruelly cut short by injury, but is fit and firing again, as we saw in the Community Shield. And I'm planning to upgrade him. Well, upgrade sounds a bit unfair to him, but I'm planning to bring in Jack Grealish in that position for game week 2 when City are at home to Norwich, so going for a bit of a free hit there with Barnes in game week 1. And then I've gone for a factory records strike force of Tony Wilson, Ivan Tony of Brentford, Callum Wilson of Newcastle. Mentioned earlier that sort of 7.5 million, 8 million price bracket for forwards. Callum Wilson last season had the best points per game among forwards in that price bracket. He had the second best minutes per goal ratio behind Kelechi Iheanacho. He also has an incredible record against West Ham, who Newcastle play in their opening fixture. He's got 8 goals against them in 10 appearances, and that's why he is forming part of my attack for this opening weekend.
Moving on to your team, Sam. As you said, you've got Son, you've got Salah, you've got Bruno. In defence, you've even got Trent and Shaw and Dinho. So you've spent quite a lot of money in those 6 positions, which did mean you needed a few facilitators. And firstly, we've already spoken about Tom having Watford representation in his team. You have got the triple up.
I think I've spoken to you too much this pre-season, Kelly. I've got 3 Watford players, not because I'm expecting to play them all the time, but I've gone with the double up with the Watford goalkeepers. Watford was so solid defensively in the Championship last season. And okay, I'm not necessarily expecting them to come into the Premier League and do the same thing in terms of the number of clean sheets and the lack of goals scored. But equally, at 8.5 million for the 2 keepers combined, knowing that you always have a goalkeeper who will play for you, because if for any reason Backman doesn't play and therefore we're with Foster, I'm still covered from that perspective. Feels really nice. They will get save points. There will be some clean sheets that come over the first few weeks of the season. And when it comes to goalkeepers, I would rather spend that additional money up top where the potential upside is greater than I do with the defence. Now, of course, it does mean I'm going without Martinez. And that feels all kinds of wrong, because last season I spent a lot of time wishing I'd just gone with Martinez. So it is problematic from that perspective. But I think with keepers, I'm prepared to kind of ride it out and then make the changes at first wildcard, depending upon which goalkeepers have started the season well.
And you've also gone for Mikel Antonio up top with Ivan Toney and, of course, Josh King, as we just mentioned.
Yeah, and I think with Antonio, that's the one position that I am slightly still unsure about. I have got 0.5 million in the bank, so he can be Danny Ings for these first three fixtures, which look really good for Aston Villa. But Antonio seems to be fully recovered from the injury that kept him out for a lot of last season now. The opening fixtures for West Ham are nice in the first few game weeks, up until around the time they start competing on both fronts with Europa League. So he is a transfer waiting to happen, because I don't know that I want to own him whilst West Ham are trying to play Europa League football and then play again in the Premier League in 1 week. But for the first 5 weeks or so, I think Antonio could be a really nice differential.
I have Antonio, as does Jonathan. But Jonathan, your team has a few headlines, really, and I think you've implied that with what you said on the pod so far. You haven't got Trent Alexander-Arnold. You haven't Bruno Fernandes. Yes, you are the panellist that has been bold going into game week one. You've only really got one more premium defender in Luke Shaw. Let's start with the defence then, shall we? Because you've gone for the trusty, I think we can say that after all these years in FPL, of a Burnley defender in Tarkowski and Konsa, who, of course, had a brilliant season last year for Aston Villa.
Yeah, I think there may need to be a few changes in that sense with Trent, for example. And there's one or two that I'm already reconsidering at this moment in time, having listened to you guys. But yeah, I do think there's value in certain teams, especially in opening weeks. I think there's value in Villa. I'm going to be a little bit contrarian against Watford in this one. I think that Aston Villa have built a very nice squad. I think that although they've lost Jack Grealish, I think they've actually, you know, they've improved as a unit, and I think they can now maybe be a bit more aggressive in how they approach games. You know, they've got the pace of a new signing, Leon Bailey, whom, you know, players may want to have a look out for. But defensively, I think they still, Emi Martinez, top scoring goalkeeper last season. Ezri Konsa, I think, is owned by around 1% of FPL players, which is, to me, I think there's real value there, especially as price $5 million. Villa kept 12 clean sheets last season, so and he popped up with two goals. I think Konsa could potentially end up in the England squad this season. I really like him. I think he's a brilliant defender. So I've gone for him. Tarkowski, Burnley. Well, they haven't even been mentioned on this episode so far, and they always are a side that you can kind of rely on in terms of, you know, racking up some clean sheets here and there. So I think they, you know, with their opening fixture, I think there's some value in terms of, you know, Brighton at home, potentially maybe some clean sheets there somewhere anyway. So I think that Burnley are, you know, a solid team that you can rely on for as long as Sean Dyche stays in that defensive side. I don't think their style of play will change much. And then I also think there's a little bit of value in that Newcastle West Ham game potentially. I like Callum Wilson, so I've gone for him at I think he's 7.5. He's a proven goal scorer at this level, more or less, when he can sort of stay fit. 12 goals last season, 14 goals in 2018-19. And one thing I like about Wilson, he kind of starts the seasons quite well as well. I think I remember last season, I think he scored 2 in his first 3 games. And so what you have to worry about Wilson is there's always a period of time maybe where he gets injured. But if he's fit and firing at the early phase of the season, then I think there's value there in the opening weeks, especially when, you know, Newcastle, if you look at their fixture list, sort of West Ham at home, Villa away, Southampton at home, I think there's goals there for Wilson potentially. So, yeah, Burnley, Villa and Newcastle and also West Ham are a side that I think you can, although I don't have any defenders on my team from West Ham at this moment in time, I do think David Moyes is another manager where you can kind of rely on some clean sheets here and there. I'm not entirely sure who they're going to have in goal because I've gone with Areola, but I'm not entirely sure he's going to start. So that battle is going to be one to get right. I may change Areola at some point. But yeah, Areola versus Fabianski is an interesting one. But yeah, I think Villa, Burnley, Newcastle and West Ham are four teams where you can find some value FPL-wise.
And finally, the captaincy. Now, this is far more straightforward and something that the whole panel agree on. I'm just going to say it for you guys. You're all captaining Mo Salah. And this is why. Liverpool have won their last 7 trips to Carrow Road scoring 21 goals in the process. They also beat Norwich 4-1 on the opening night 2 years ago. So I think everyone is expecting plenty of Liverpool points and potentially for Mo Salah.
You know, we've mentioned kind of Liverpool. They have an incredible record against Norwich. I think if you're looking for maybe an alternative where maybe a kind of a wild card for the season, I think Harvey Elliott is a player to keep an eye on. I've just seen he's only recently been added to the game, I think, this week at 5.5. And he's been very prominent in pre-season. He started, I think, 3 of their pre-season games. So, yeah, I mean, if you can't afford Salah and you are willing to take gambles, keep an eye on Harvey Elliott, because I think he's a fantastic young prospect. It's really, really good for Blackburn last season. Liverpool fans were really excited about him this pre-season. So I think he's been playing in the sort of central midfield area, but he's a very progressive player. And I think this season coming, he's going to be one that will rack up a few points here and there.
But Jonathan, be honest. Are you going to pick him? And are you going to captain him?
Oh, definitely not captaining him.
We'll call him one to watch then. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for joining us on this podcast. I think that end bit was the easiest decision we've got to make all season, it sounds like. But don't get lured in, Fantasy Manager. It is not always this easy, but it is, of course, always really good fun. And talking of fun, it's been a blast as always, but that is all we've got time for this week. My thanks go to Sam, Jonathan and Tom for their pearls of wisdom. If you do want to play them and all of the rest of us here at FPL HQ, as well as your fellow listeners, do join our league. The code is 1KIKS7. And don't forget the deadline, Friday at 18:30 UK time. If ever there is a time not to forget the deadline, this is it. And of course, we'll be back with all of the reaction next Thursday in all of the places you get your podcasts. In the meantime, head to fantasy.premierleague.com for any more info you might need. See you next week.